If you were following Jesus and he turned around and looked at you and said, "What are you looking for?" What would you answer? What are you looking for? And I guess what has happened in our world for so many years now is that we kind of look for things that would bring us comfort. We like assurances, you know, so that we don't have too many uncertainties in our lives. We like to be healed of all pain and illnesses and all of those things. We would like for our kids to be perfect in just about every way. We would like to be able to find a good job that would help us meet all of our obligations and our needs and maybe put something aside for a rainy day. And probably we a lot of us think in that direction. We'd think, say, like, how about peace in the world? That would be a nice thing for everybody. How about a welcome home for all these people who are being displaced by wars and by natural disasters? How about somebody welcome them, find a place for them? How about the possibility of an education for anybody in the world who seeks it? How about an end to craziness, the endless development of nuclear weapons, weapons of destruction? Blessings on space travel. You know, all this kind of thing we think about, these are things that we say, we probably would say to him, yeah, this is kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a place where all of this can happen. And he's very patient. God's very patient with us. He probably would say, well, come follow me, come and see. And he would actually show us a place where a lot of these wishes and dreams and hopes could be fulfilled. And essentially what it comes down to is forming the kind of relationship with our God that allows us to appreciate and to see, maybe see a little bit more with the vision of God about how he looks at all of these things, at our world, at us, and he probably would find in that relationship with our Lord, a lot of the things that we are hoping for, a lot of the things that we dream about. The only problem is that we like him to do that for us. Since he's God, we would like him to do all of that for us. But, you know, when God did this whole thing with creation, when it came to creating us, human beings, he did it a little bit differently. I mean, he put together this beautiful body that he gives to us, this unit that functions how doctors can tell you how, but I don't think anybody else can, how it all works together, how it all, when a healthy body is working, it's an absolute marvel, but we don't even take time to appreciate that. St. Paul says, unfortunately, we use that body that God made for us, not for immortality, but for immorality, for our own pleasure, for our, you know, instead of admiring and using wisely the gift that God gave to us, we often tend to abuse it, misuse it, and hurt it, and damage it, and make it sick, and all of those kind of things. And St. Paul says, we don't really appreciate what we have. This is a treasure. We are precious in God's eyes. Not just our separated souls. He created us as human beings. So we are saved as human beings, body and soul. The whole person, not just separate pieces. And so he said, we have to honor that body because St. Paul says you are the temple of God. You are the body of Christ. Think about that. The Spirit of God dwells in you. I mean, we really, not only physically, but in a spiritual way, we are extraordinary human beings because God has elevated us to a level where He dwells in us. He feeds us with His body and blood. He feeds us with divinity. And again, St. Paul says, in God's sight, we are precious. We are a priceless gift that God made. And what God says to us is, all of this stuff that I've given to you, I gave you one something that made you very much like me. I gave you an intelligence and I gave you a free will. So all of these things, we have a right to choose. But when our Lord turns around and says to us, what are you looking for? When He says, come follow me, I will show you. And so what He shows us is basically how to live a full, rich human life where all of these things become possible. And it's simply by growing, developing and growing, learning, knowing, and loving our God and following what He has laid out for us. So when He turns around and looks at you and says, what are you looking for? Essentially, I guess we are looking for that kind of relationship where there is love, and there is with our God, where there is peace, which comes from loving other people, where all of these other wonderful things can occur. It may not be in this life that we know now, here and now, but it will in eternity. So what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Why are you following me? What do you want from me? And He says, I will show you all of these things. But you have to be willing to embrace and to accept and to change. And we can't say, well, Lord, this is the way I am. I mean, there's no changing that. I got to have my 7 beers a day, and there's no changing that. Or I just react to things. I blow up at the kids every time I see them. Well, I can't change that. That's just the way I am. Well, that's a cop-out. Because we are in charge of our lives. If we make up our mind to do something, we can accomplish it. Addictions are something else. They need a lot of help. They need a lot of help to get them out of that. But even there, the determination that comes from within can change things in people's lives. So when our Lord, when these disciples were following, or like Samuel in the first reading from the Old Testament, God calls him. Well, Samuel lived in the temple, but he was a kid. He wasn't acquainted with all of the holiness and the prophecy and all of the things that were going on. So when God called him, he thought it was his master, Eli. And so he responded, here I am. What do you want me? What do you want? What can I do? And it happened 3 times. And finally, his master, Eli, told him, it must be the Lord calling you. So the next time he calls, just simply say, here I am, Lord. What would you like for me to do? And he did that, and God spoke to him. And he was his guide. He became the leader of the people, the judge leading the chosen people. So in our own lives, in the gospel reading today, it's funny how gospels strike you differently every once in a while. I mean, you can read these how many years? It's the living word of God. And so the emphasis that God puts on that word in your mind and in your thought today kind of touches a nerve. I've read this gospel I don't know how many times. I never thought about that question. What are you looking for? What are you really looking for? Are you looking for something of God, or do you want God to simply give you all of the stuff that you want? You're looking for a kind of a free ride, somebody that will easily handle all of this for you, so that you can just live your life irresponsibly and do whatever you feel like you would like to do, because I don't have to worry about this now, because God is taking care of it. Well, like I say, when God made us, he made us a little bit different. He made us something like God. We are not gods, but he made us something like God that we can choose, that we can know and choose. And so he said, all of these things I will show you, but you have to choose to do them. So when we follow our Lord, when he turns around, looks at us and says, what are you looking for? What can you tell him?